And the end times are coming. I'm sorry. This is the wrong show. Hi, this week on Hack Naked News. See, I can recover. This week on Hack Naked News, we're going to talk about Equifax. How could we not talk about Equifax? Some more Kaspersky. Ooh, might even mention Dooku a little bit. So be sure and hang around, and we will talk about those things with Jason Wood.
This is Security Weekly. For security professionals, by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News.
Most of the organizations I work with, they have
released. Yes, you read it.
Actually do.
The original Linux kernel security with Linux.
So I hope everybody has their resistance built up.
Brought to you by... Do you have a website, an external presence, employees, an office? Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending these assets? Have you penetration tested these public assets? Start 2017 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting@blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night. Make sure your team is prepared to fight off the latest cybersecurity threat. IT Pro TV is the resource to keep you and your IT team skills up to date. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand worldwide, so there's no need to send staff to off-site training. Their team solution provides access to a supervisor portal for full control over your team's training schedule and group analytics. Go to itpro.tv/hacknaked and use the code HN30 to try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off your monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. To learn more about IT Pro TV's team solution, sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal.
Go to itprotv.com/hacknaked and use the code HN30 to try it for free for 7 days. You know you want to. And get 30% off your monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. To learn more about IT Pro TV's team solution, sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal. And also Cyber Reason webcast. Register for the webcast to hear Ross Rastici, I got it. Paul Azadorian and Joff Thayer discuss techniques used to turn threat data into usable information and the symbiotic relationship between said information and a hunting program. Visit securityweekly.com/cyberreason to register now, because you do have to register. Space is limited and tickets are going fast. And now the security news on Hack Naked News today, which is the 10th of October. I don't know why I put the 21st of October. Oh, I know why. Because the 21st of October is Providence HackCon. Be sure and check that out. If you want to know more about it, be sure and get in touch with us. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, so if you weren't aware of cybersecurity, now is the time to become aware. Today, we're going to talk about a couple different things. We have Jason Wood, who is amazing as ever, and his glowing presence is now shining out on us from the monitor. Jason.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't seen you in a while because I think I was banned from the airwaves or something like that because I disclosed all Paul's secrets accidentally. But, you know, it happens. And we get past all those kind of fun things. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Keeping busy.
Well, good. So I'm going to talk about a couple of articles here first. I think my first one, it was related to what you're going to talk about a little bit later, but I want to talk a little bit about what the White House said about Equifax. So the White House came out earlier this week, and they say all kinds of things all the time, but they basically said that Social Security numbers should go. And I've been saying that since like 1975, but nevertheless, they finally came out and they said it. And just a couple of things about Social Security numbers. So Social Security numbers were designed back in the 20s and the 30s, and they were introduced in 1936. So that tells you how long ago that was. And there's only about 745 million possible Social Security numbers. There's actually around a billion if you do the math. But there's all these excluded numbers, which were dropped for various reasons. Like my favorite is 666. So I was going to petition to see if I could get 666 as a Social Security number, but they wouldn't. You can't change your Social Security number apparently very easily. They excluded all these blocks and whatever. So the White House was saying that they need to do something. but they didn't really offer a solution. So a couple of the discussions are about biometrics and blockchain. So I don't know, Jason, you have any opinion on any of that?
I thought that came to my mind with the biometrics is here's something else we're going to be sharing out and using all over the place. But then at the same time, I looked at the Face ID coming out on the Apple phones, stuff like that. So I guess we're doing that already anyhow.
Yeah.
You know, fingerprints. But, you're still going to run into the same. It has to be something I think that nobody is going to, your college and your doctor and your dentist and stuff like that aren't going to turn around and say, hey, what's your identifier?
Right.
So that we can treat you.
Well, I mean, that's why like the asymmetric type stuff is to me the better approach, where if the government can issue public keys or authenticate public care, somebody can do it. I don't know if I trust the government to do it, but I mean, at least then as long as you protect your private key, you have a type of blockchain that you can use for an identifier, which at least is better than this social security number that we've been using since time immemorial. Biometrics, I don't know. I mean, biometrics to me are like, they're great in a sense, but they're also very, you know, you can compromise them. They're hard to support. And when you start talking about, I need a retinal scan every time I want to buy something on Amazon, I get a little bit concerned about that being an effective tool. And sometimes when security gets overwhelming, then people start finding ways around it because it becomes so difficult to use. But not having that multi-part security, we definitely desperately need something. And so I did read an article about blockchains being, you know, maybe the idea that, you know, that all those pieces together can identify you. And since your phone's going to scan your face anyway, but then I was like, does that mean people are going to be walking around the earth with like a, you know, a bag full of faces or something that they can put on, which sounds pretty grim, but, you know, hey, why not? I used to say people would cut off thumbs to take with them. I was told by the biometric people that, you know, it checks for a pulse and heat. And I was like, that's what a microwave's for. But, you know, that's just me. So anyway, but I don't know what we're going to do about social security numbers in the near future, because in my impression, social security numbers are so embedded and so ingrained in the United States, it's going to be very, very difficult. And so all the counterpoints in this article were just about what an imposition it was going to be to force people not to use social security numbers, and how much it was going to cost, and how it was going to be detrimental to business. And if you think about it, it's a pretty dramatic thing, because somebody like Equifax or any of those companies relies so heavily on social security numbers that if you made a change to that system, regulatory change, it's going to be a massive, massive undertaking. And then, of course, like you said, who's going to protect all that information, and how long is it going to be before your biometric data gets stolen because, you know, nobody can manage it? Any thoughts on that?
I think the biggest thing that I took away from this was just the idea of, wow, what a gut-wrenching change to have to make. The entire credit industry, retail, et cetera. I mean, so much depends on social security numbers. They shouldn't. It was never designed to be that way, but nevertheless it is. Okay. So pretty nasty change that you have to make, whatever it is.
Well, I agree. It would be a huge regulatory change, a huge regulatory burden if they made some kind of change like that and said we're going to require all this. So I don't know. I mean, I wish I had an answer to it. If I did, I'd do a startup and we could all retire. So we'll get back to Equifax in a little bit. I want to talk about Kaspersky a little bit, too, because Kaspersky, there's an article now, Russian hackers stole NSA data on U.S. cyber defense. And the way they did this, and it's not exactly clear what happened, but there's some theories about what happened, because Kaspersky's not saying, but one of the theories that was promoted by DHS was that essentially that Kaspersky was in cahoots with the Ruskies. And so that created a kind of scary scenario, and a lot of people started saying, well, you know, this is a big deal. The U.S. federal government said no more Kaspersky. They banned it verboten. I saw an article yesterday that a lot of the stores were pulling Kaspersky products off the shelves, and they weren't selling them anymore, and on and on and on. So what happened was, apparently, a classified NSA employee who was a Vietnamese national, whatever that means, took home top secret data and opened that data on their personal machine at home. And that's sort of where everybody then gets off. So somehow the Russian government apparently got hold of this NSA information at that point. There's three basic theories. So theory one, just Boris and Natasha, and this is classic espionage. So somebody went and coerced this, and I don't know if the employee was male or female, so we have Boris and Natasha, and both, if necessary. But basically, that someone just used classic traditional espionage and or spear phishing to just get this person to give it up. So the person released this to them, and okay, poof. How did they know it was there? Well, that always comes back to the fact that Kaspersky can argue this in any given way. So think about it like this. Kaspersky has signatures built into it for all kinds of classified stuff that shadow brokers dumped, whether it's Eternal Blue, et cetera. So if Kaspersky is triggering those alerts, then it is possible that someone knew in Russia that this person was using classified data on their machine. So that's one whole set of theories. Another set of theories is essentially that somehow Kaspersky is in cahoots with the government. So that the actual company is working for the government. Now, Kaspersky has denied this vehemently, that he's not, you know, they do not owe anything to any governments anywhere. The third theory of this is that the Russians were monitoring Kaspersky data as it streamed across Russian servers, which is where information from Kaspersky software is managed, and the signature updates and so forth. And that because of that back office management and the Russian law, which says that they can monitor things if they have to get a warrant or how they do that, but they said they can monitor it, that maybe then since they knew this employee was opening classified things at home, it opened them up to all sorts of attacks, and then they, you know, either this or they did something else to go in there and get that information off this person's machine. So all those are possibilities. No one knows what really happened. There's Kaspersky's. Kaspersky's theory is that something else has compromised their system, so that there's a zero day or some other exploit in Kaspersky. And Kaspersky said, hey, look, we get compromised, we're no different than any other company or any other piece of software, and we have problems and flaws in our systems too. And I put in the show notes a paper that Kaspersky wrote about Dooku 2.0. And he was the person who kind of, the company discovered Dooku originally because the malware was infecting their systems. And because of that, they said, well, look, see, we got infected here. We could get infected again, and we got originally spearfished, so who knows if any of those things have happened. None of these bode well for an antivirus company, in my opinion, that has had to admit to this level of compromise. But I don't know. Jason, you have any thoughts about that?
The initial thoughts I have are just you talk about the espionage aspect of it. Both the United States, Russia, Great Britain, all the major countries out there have a long history of espionage. This is not new. They play a very long game. They work really hard to identify people who are working in areas that are sensitive and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be shocked to find out that, hey, this guy got nailed because he was careless. You know, why the heck was confidential or classified information on his personal system in the first place in a position where it could be captured? Like this. So that is definitely an angle to look at. Could Kaspersky be involved with that espionage? Yeah, that's possible. The hard thing is we're never really going to know because, again, the espionage business is – they play their cards pretty close to their vest. The only time they start really announcing things usually is when they're wanting to make some kind of public – play to make somebody look bad or move their agenda a little bit. If that doesn't work out, if it's in their best interest to be quiet so they can continue to keep a pulse on what the other folks are doing and hopefully have them not change tactics, then they may not say anything at all. And they certainly don't have a whole lot of incentive to give the details. So I have a hard time believing that we're going to ever really know what happened here, at least in the public. It's not a stretch to me, at least, to see that the Russians put a lot of pressure on the company, could have intercepted things. We talk about man in the middle all the time being game over in a lot of ways for organizations. And, you know, Russia's law is built up around the way that allows them to do that. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. It's interesting to watch and read about, speculate. Don't have any real idea what it could be, though.
I thought you might know if anybody did, but I mean, I think, you know, Kaspersky says they got caught in between a sort of, you know, fight between the U.S. government and the Russian government, and that could be true. I mean, I'm still in this camp. I mean, I'm always sitting in there because I think that traditional espionage approach is probably that's what just spear phishing or whatever. And I think that's the simplest answer to this, is that the employee was very foolish and took home classified information and opened a machine. It's a violation of very kind of like even common sense, did it anyway. If that person got spearfished, then the compromise is right there. And Kaspersky's caught right in the middle of it. Now, I have no, you know, basis to say Kaspersky wasn't completely guilty or not, but that's just kind of the way that stuff shakes out. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to hear from Jason Wood.
Has your network been breached? Cyber Reason can help you answer this question. Cyber Reason products hunt for threats within your network and eliminate them in real time. To Cyber Reason, real time means within seconds. Founded by former military hackers who don't play by the rules, they've built this experience into their platform. Harness ingenuity and imagination, not just code, to defeat attackers. Cyber Reason, disrupt the adversary and let the hunt begin.
All right, Hack Naked News, and we're back. High energy. We shouldn't have had all that lunch that we had. Providence HackerCon coming up is an event co-hosted by Roger Williams University, www.rw.edu, the Providence Public Library, provlib.org, and Paul's Security Weekly, securityweekly.com, and designed to introduce high school students who are participating in the Cyber Patriot program to the industry-style conferences, Viz Def Con, AnyCon, B-Sides, in a safe environment for all those people. So that's coming up on the 21st of October. So I hope that if you're interested in that or you want to get involved in that, you'll let us know and we can steer you correctly. We're going to join Jason Woods, the brilliant and ever-present on Hack Naked News, who's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the Equifax stuff that he was looking at this week. Jason?
Hey. It is hard to duck Equifax.
Yeah.
For the last month. The news, you know, keeps going on about it. Everybody loves talking about what they did wrong, making comments on the individual's intelligence who are involved with this, et cetera, usually very negative. But, you know, lots of chatter about it. Now we've got congressional hearings happening where they're grilling executives and basically taking the opportunity, Congress is taking the opportunity to vent their spleen on the company. At the end of the day, you know, what it boils down to is 145 million people had their information copied off by somebody else. It's impacted, I think I read one number, about 40% of the U.S. population, as well as a sizable chunk of Great Britain was affected. So you would think with all of this impact and this outrage and people diving all over them and calling them terrible names and stuff like that, that maybe this will be an opportunity for us to have some reform, change how some things are done inside the credit reporting industry, as well as, like you were discussing earlier, you know, things like Social Security numbers and what we use them for and how prevalent they are. And really, to be honest, looking back on what's happened in past history of data breaches and some of the news that I'm going to mention here, get to here in a second, of recent events, I just don't see it happening. Like I said, we've got history against us. We've had a ton of data breaches over the years. I think one of the first big news, you know, worthy, everybody got bent out of shape, was LexisNexis back in 2005. Hey. Yes, when a whopping 310,000 people were affected, and we were horrified that so many people could have their information compromised like this.
That was the first time I actually got compromised. My stuff was in LexisNexis. It was the first time I got notified, hey, all your stuff's been compromised. And I thought, wow, that's a law thing that just got. And I was like, oh, this could be a problem.
Yeah, and you know, it's a company that most folks never heard of before, right?
Right.
Had no idea their information was even there. But the, you know, we, throughout the breaches, we have had kind of a pattern that's played out. Everybody expresses their shock and their terror and their angst and stuff like that. The company announces that they've had some kind of breach, usually very grudgingly, trying to play it down. Only a limited number of people were affected, blah, 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 right? Congress gets out there, makes ominous statements. I found one statement from Senator Schumer back for the LexisNexis breach, talking about how this is so out of hand and terrible and stuff like that 12 years ago. We grill people in the whole bit. The company shows remorse. They say what they're going to do. Some folks get fired and everybody gets credit monitoring. And that's it.
Yep.
And that's the way this has played out pretty much for every breach that we've had. Companies definitely spend a lot of money responding to it, right? It looks very negative. They've got to hire somebody to come in and do the response. They've got to manage the publicity. They've got careers being wrecked by, managers being fired and stuff like that. But so far, really not much has changed. Probably the only significant changes you could look at in laws, the states have passed laws saying, hey, if you have had a security incident that compromises the information of residents of our state, you have to disclose that publicly. Massachusetts is one of the first to come out with a fairly rigorous requirement for reporting. And as a result, it's really hard for me to say, yeah, well, we got breached, but it was only Massachusetts folks, right? So it caused more reporting, right, across the country as to people being impacted. But that's the way this plays out, and that's the way I anticipate seeing things like this happen. Now, I did see in the news, this was on a site, recode.net, and the link is in the show notes here, where the credit industry, which really is, we're talking about three companies here, right? Equifax,
TransUnion.
Experian, and TransUnion. I like calling it an industry with three players. But we can see the credit industry is already starting to respond to this. On October 2nd, TransUnion hired a company, registered this firm as a group of lobbyists for them to try and get ahead of any regulation that might be coming down through Congress that will impact the credit monitoring, credit reporting industry. I went and I looked at the filing of it, and you're looking at the name and you look up the company that's involved in this. And then I was reading through some of the bios of the individuals who are going to be the lobbyists who have been registered as lobbyists for TransUnion. And then there were, they weren't even breached at this point, right, involved in this one, but they're trying to protect themselves. And one of the person's bios had quoted the Hill newspaper saying something like, the Hill newspaper noted his ability to, quote, kill legislative threats to his clients, end quote. pretty blunt and straight up here that their goal is to impede Congress and regulatory agencies from enacting policy and laws that are going to make it difficult or more expensive for them to do their job. They don't want to have people getting in their business and telling them how to do things. Equifax is saying we need to get rid of Social Security numbers. TransUnion is probably not really feeling that right now because that's really expensive. Mm-hmm. So they're, and honestly, I expect all three of them want to kind of keep things with their current practices and how things have worked. I've read some statements where regulatory watchdogs have said, the credit monitoring agencies have to accept that the days of no supervision are over. What do I expect to have happen? Really, we're going to have basically maybe some new audits that are going to be required. We're going to have people asking more questions, maybe, a couple of different checks that people have to do and stuff like that, but not, it's going to be inconvenient. It's not going to significantly change how the credit monitoring industry works. And because there is so much money involved in this. So I suspect based on our history and what we're already seeing the credit companies doing, they're going to protect their position, and we're just going to go and get credit monitoring free for a year. And I guess credit freezes now as they've stopped charging for that due to the outrage, and business is going to go on. Lots of smoke being blown, but I don't expect too much else. Doug, any comments from that on your perspective?
I completely agree with you that not much is going to get done. Having worked lobbying, that's a resume line probably from that guy that, you know, effective at stopping legislation that adversely impacts my client.
It was in his bio.
I'm sure. I mean, he probably put it there because that's a big sales pitch. I mean, I would want it on my bio. I wish I was effective at stopping legislation. I'd make a lot of money. But until there's a huge amount of fiduciary harm, and everybody knows I love that word, focused in some place. I mean, and I don't mean like on an individual. I mean like until an industry is affected or something like that. It's very difficult to get legislation passed when there's lobbying firms who are willing to spend a lot of money to prevent that legislation from getting passed. And as long as this is something that affects individuals in an isolated way, even though this breach affected 145 million people, the breach itself doesn't affect anyone. It's just the consequences downstream. And so the problem of those identity thefts and problems that come along later are always just going to be sort of poking at, you know, individuals rather than this big massive problem. And until that happens, I think you're right. It's just going to be some minor stuff. And they'll say, oh, yeah, you got to do an extra pen test or whatever. And I don't think much will change. So definitely a scary industry as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they've got their fingers in everything. There's a lot of companies out there that have a lot of information on us, and we don't necessarily even know about it. I'm sure we know the credit bureaus. Whenever we request credit, we know we're making an entry with credit bureaus. But, you know, there are plenty of other organizations. LexisNexis is one. I can think of others that do things like fraud detection and whatnot. Right. You don't have any direct relationship with them anyhow, but they have a ton of information about
you. Absolutely.
And most, I'll be honest with you, most all of it keys off of that social security number. So
yeah, and they sell it. I mean, that's the other thing is you don't know what's out there, and they're selling it to other third parties there's not necessarily any regulation at all. So all these credit companies sell your information in various slices. So people call up and say, I want to buy a list of reasonably affluent people who live in the Northeast or whatever. And they can buy those subsets, and you know, maybe they're good people who just want to sell you a car, or maybe they're, you know, dangerous individuals who had enough money to buy this stuff. So it's a huge issue, and I don't think it's going to get solved anytime soon. It hasn't been solved yet. So,
yep. All righty.
All right. Well, thanks, Jason Wood. Thank you for viewing Hack Naked News this week. Be sure and hang around next time, and I'll see you sometime soon. Thanks a lot.